Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Todd Tomasella in the Dallas, Texas area. And in just a moment, I've got a friend named Ron Myers coming on the line. Ron and I met earlier this year. Ron, I'm glad he's getting on a little late because I want to talk about how I met Ron. Ron has got just a magnificent personality. And I go to this one particular gym location of the franchise or whatever gym that I don't think it's a franchise, it's corporate owned, but they have gyms everywhere. And I go to this one particular gym, and that's where I met Ron in the men's locker room. He's very got just such a bright personality. And he's been saved just a few years. I'll let him tell you a little bit more about how the Lord saved him and out of the lifestyle of which he was saved in a moment here as we look for him to pop on the line. But Ron was ministering to some other guy and, you know, just talking to him in a really nice way, the way he just cares about people and then, you know, putting in scriptural blessings and stuff and boldly talking about the Lord in a very loving way. And I was privileged to chime in to one of those conversations. So that's kind of how I met Ron. We've been close ever since. Ron is actively doing prison ministry and other outreaches. In fact, I went with him and a bunch of his friends to Dallas, to the streets of Dallas about a month and a half ago. And we passed out water and food and saw probably 10 or 15 people get saved that day after hearing the law and the gospel, the law being the Ten Commandments, to bring them to a place of conviction to realize their separation from God and be able to make the quality decision to repent and begin following Jesus that day. That's what happened with about 10 or 15 people, praise God, on the streets of downtown Dallas and numerous others, hundreds of others got tracts, gospel tracts, and were ministered to in a variety of different ways. And I was glad to be a part of that fellowship. But Ron's got a personality that is just absolutely, it's hard to explain. He's just really bright, full of joy. You know, you get the picture of letting your light shine when you're around this brother, and it's a real blessing to see the Lord use him in bringing the restoration that Christ alone can bring into the wrecked, sinful, fallen lives of mankind. And, you know, recently Ron called me because he wanted some scriptural revelation of a situation where someone was living in sin, and he was concerned about them in a real genuine way. And so we prayed together and reviewed some scriptures and prayed for the individual. And God used Ron in a great way to go in and share the truth, knowing that it was going to be, so at least to some degree, rejected. And yet, overall, it came out to where the person or the people involved were restored. Hallelujah. And so, but he knew he had to do it. He knew the Lord convicted him with deep concern for the souls of the people involved. And it was a real blessing to hear that those people were amending their ways. We see in Haggai 1, Haggai 1, amend your ways before the Lord. And that truth and the concern of Christ and the prayer that was rendered yielded the blessing of people being restored in their relationship with the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to realize that living in sin is living in separation from God. I know the cliches and the things that go around about how, oh, everybody sins. In other words, it's okay, and God's going to judge us and rate us on a scale system, to where, oh, well, I wasn't as bad as most. Well, not true, folks. God is holy, 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 and cannot fellowship, will not fellowship with anyone who chooses to retain sin in their lives. You hear all the complaints and the people railing against you and saying, you really mean somebody can live sinlessly? Let me answer that by saying this. Did Jesus come and die for your sins and mine so that we could still live in them? No, not at all. We're to put away sin, and the only way to do so is to be so enmeshed, so one with Christ, that those sins cannot stand in the presence of Christ in us. We're to abide in him, and when we do, the fruit of holiness will be brought forth in our lives. And listen to Titus chapter 2 about the grace of God that has saved us. This is the biblical view of salvation, and that's the only one we need. It says here in Titus 2, beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us," notice the grace of God brings salvation, that's how we're saved, by grace through faith. Now, most people in the evangelical world have been taught this false, which to them is defined as God covers all your sins after you get saved. No matter what you do, no matter how you live, you're automatically covered in Christ. Even if you live in complete open rebellion, since you had that one moment of faith, you're automatically and forever forgiven of all your sins, whether you confess them or not. Now, that, folks, that is the most deceitful lie, perhaps, on the planet right there. The wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is still death. God is holy, holy, holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, Revelation 4, 8, Romans 6, 3, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now somebody's going to say, oh, you see, it's a gift. Well, you know, a gift can be given back to the one who gave it to you. That doesn't mean we've got to allow Scripture alone, the full counsel of it, to define every aspect of the salvation of Christ. And right here we see that it's the grace of God that brings salvation. Amen? Teaching us, verse 12, Titus 2, teaching us. Now, if we have the grace of God, this is what we're learning, because it's teaching us. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, if we have the grace of God, without which we cannot be saved, we are learning to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If we are not learning to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, we are not in the saving grace of God, according to this passage in Titus chapter 2. Notice verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, not some, but all, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God wants his children free from all sin. He wants us redeemed, literally, from all iniquity, quote unquote. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Am I correct in saying that? Is that what Ephesians 5 tells us? Well, it sure is, brothers and sisters. Listen here to Ephesians 5, verse 25, which speaks of Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify or set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow, let me read verse 27 again. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, no spot, or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. Now, I know and I can hear people, the wheels of the mind grinding. Are you insinuating that someone could actually overcome all sin? I would ask the question, is Jesus not able to overcome all sin in your life? Never mind the but, okay? The thing is, if I'm one with Christ as a born-again believer, all the way as he desired, and he's designed and instructed and commanded, then no sin could be standing in my life. It's all confessed. I'm not saying there's not struggles. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against the demonic powers that are in this earth realm. We fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, Ephesians 6:12. There is a fight. The spirit indeed is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. Therefore, he said, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. So Jesus is saying there is the downward pull of the fallen nature, but if you watch and pray, you will not enter into temptation. Temptation is going to be there, but you will not enter into it. You will have my power over it if, in fact, you watch and pray. And that pray there would fall in line with all that we read about praying in the whole of Scripture. Watch and pray. So you're saying that praying can make me overcome. Are you serious? Yes, I am. That's what Jesus said. Listen to this. In the end of Luke 21. Now here is Ron right here. Let's bring Ron on.
Guys.
Brother Ron, good morning.
Good morning,
hey,
guys.
Ron, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Great, brother. Just clicked you on here. You're on live. God bless you, brother. I know you're busy today, and I really appreciate you being on the program. We got probably about 20 minutes left or so, 15 or 20.
Okay.
And adorative love of Christ as it's been manifested in your life, and how God is using you, Brother Ron, on a daily basis to show the love of Christ. I notice a lot of kindness about your life, brother, and how that fruit of the Spirit is really evident and how it endears almost everyone that comes in contact with you, even those that don't even know you. And I want to give glory to God for that. Now, brother,
amen. I agree.
Yes, sir. I begin to talk about how God saved you, brother, just a few years ago. And I will let you at this point talk a little bit about that as you feel the liberty to do so, brother. Go right ahead.
Well, I think everything you just said is correct, and the Lord has radically saved me, and the fact that he puts me in a place with so many people to share Jesus is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Everything that goes on in my life, I know he's in control of. I know that without any question, and I guess the best way to describe what's happened to me is that I let go and let God. It's corny, it's cliche, but it's true. And
amen.
Once you do that, he can use you for anything. And that's the other important, especially in ministry, is that we get out of the way. And with my personality and everything else, I have a tendency to want to control things and be in charge. And that's not the way it works. And as soon as we can get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit take over, he's just using me. That's all it is.
Amen, brother. He's large and in charge, isn't he, Brother Ron?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yeah. Without question, Todd. Without question.
You know, brother, you're right about that let go and let God. There are cliches that aren't quite biblical that we have to sort through and discern, but that one certainly is. You know, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And as he increases in us, as we're bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus is going to be made manifest or brought to the forefront in our mortal bodies in and through us. And that's a good way to start a day, isn't it, Brother Ron? By just saying, Lord,
it is.
I surrender all to you,
I do it
Lord
every,
Jesus.
I do it every single morning. That's the only way
amen,
I can get
brother.
Through the day. That's submit my will and give it all to him and say, Lord, it's your day, your timing, your way, not mine. Because I tried mine for going on 50 years, and it didn't work.
Well, better late than never, huh, brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've been brought into the kingdom of God. You know, feel free to talk about, you know, your testimony in any sense. I know we only have a few minutes, but you've got a really colorful testimony that's thing. Amen?
Amen. And I think that's funny you should use the word colorful. I have two parts of life that I believe every believer has, and that's the, you know, before Christ and after Christ. And my before Christ, my BC, is a lot like a lot of people's, you know, the drugs, the booze, the immorality, and everything else, doing it my way. And if there's one word I could use to typify my life before the Lord, it's failure. And it's not just failure in business, because I had some times where life on the surface, at least to me, through my worldly view, seemed pretty good. But at the end of the day, it was not built on a foundation. It was built on worldly values, worldly desires, worldly standards. And eventually, all of that crumbles. So, you know, I don't ever feel led, unless somebody needs it, to share the details of the drug abuse and everything else, because everybody, let's put it this way, it was bad. And my life then is unrecognizable to the life God has put me in now. And I was serving myself beforehand, like everybody's doing, whether they realize it or they don't. Once you make that transition, the words are hard to find to describe the peace, regardless of the world's circumstances, because God and Jesus never promised us it would be easy. But at the same time, too, there's a peace with whatever's going on, because we know where we're going. We know that he's ordering our steps, and that our purpose is here just to please him, serve him, and bring as many people to the Lord as we can. And once you know that as your purpose, and not whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a salesman, a radio host, evangelist, or anything else, once you realize that's our purpose, is to be emissaries for Christ, it makes life a lot easier to go through, because we can follow him. We can't control anything else.
Amen, brother. Well, that's what we're to be doing. The scripture says work out, not for, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's a beautiful thing to know God's working in us, Brother Ron, isn't it?
Amen. Absolutely.
And the scripture tells us that, that's Philippians 2, 12 and 13, that God is perfecting that which concerns his children. We're not left to our own devices. We're actually in Christ, and he's in us, working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure today. And one of those things is what you mentioned, is that reaching out to those around us. We can't save the whole world, individual saints. I know we all want to, all true born-again Christians. But at the same time, God just holds us responsible to walk with him and to be the influencing factor in the lives of those he blesses us to come in contact with. You know, Brother Ron, the other morning, you and I were talking about the Lord together in the locker room there at the gym. And we didn't plan it, but we kind of, as we begin to talk about things of God, we begin to share the law, you know, the Ten Commandments, and how we've all sinned against God, and how those commandments show us just how sinful we are. And we were doing that out loud, and then bringing in the gospel after that. It was a blessing. You know, there were several men in there, and it was very natural, and that's a good way. You know, I knew some people in the past that used to do elevator ministry. They'd get up and go to a mall. They'd go to a mall, and they'd plan it. You know, one of them would say, all right, I'm going to preach to you. And the other one would say, okay, cool. And so they would be explaining how we've all sinned, you know, out loud to each other. And of course, on the elevator, everybody's real quiet. You know how uncomfortable that can be.
Sure.
And, but they were taking the time just to have a natural conversation by saying, one of them would be telling the other one, well, what we got to realize is that religion can't save you. You have to have a relationship with Christ. And the only way you can do that is first by beginning to realize that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all lied, right? You've lied, huh? And then the other person would say, yeah, thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. You've stolen, right? Well, yeah, the Bible says thou shalt not steal. You've had other gods like yourself before the one true God, your maker, right? Yes. Well, the first commandment says you shall have no other gods before me. And you've coveted, right? Thou shalt not covet. You've hated. Bible says thou shalt not kill, which includes hate, murders, thoughts in the heart. You've used the name of the Lord your God in vain. Anyway, taking them through the commandments and then bringing in Christ, you know, in the 30 or 60 seconds or so that you have there, and planting the seed. We all know as believers that somehow that seed of the Word of God has got to get into the hearts of the people. And so the best thing to do is to begin to pray for God to open those doors every day. And Father, we pray right now that in Brother Ron's life and each and every believer listening right now, that you'd open doors, Lord, for the ministry of the Word of God today. Lord, we can't do this, and only you can. No one wants it more than you. You sent us for this mission, but only you can make it happen. So we surrender all, we let go, and let you reign and rule in our lives that Christ might be glorified. Now, Brother Ron, here is, we've got a few more minutes left. You told me you did some ministry in a prison environment lately. Is that correct, brother?
That is correct, yes. Yes, it is.
And, you know, we haven't, that happened so recently ago, and you've been so busy, and myself also, that we haven't sat down over some coffee to talk specifically about that. But is there anything that stands out to you concerning that weekend of ministry, brother?
Yes, there is. And what stands out to me, well, we'll catch up with coffee soon, but if I had to pick one thing, it is the incredible power of a group of believers, truthfully with their hearts involved, the Holy Spirit guiding it, what the Lord can do. In a two-day event, in a group of about 3,000 inmates, 4,000, 3,000 to 4,000 inmates, we had over 1,600 of them make a first-time decision for Christ. And I can't even begin to tell you what it felt like to be in that group of people and to see the radical salvations. We even had a Satanist accept Christ, a professing, practicing Satanist except Christ. And it was just, I wish I could share more, but I will tell you this to whoever's listening. If you're not out actively pursuing the Great Commission that Jesus told us to go out and to spread the word and to spread the gospel, you're missing out on the biggest part of our faith and the biggest part of why we're here. Because I, you know, and I tell you, I know Todd will agree with me, and I can be a little controversial, but if you have met Jesus the way I've met Jesus and you don't feel like telling anybody, then I got to wonder who you met. That's all I know. And so I apologize if that offends anyone, but if you're not excited about telling everybody about Jesus and you're more interested about talking about the latest restaurant and movie, then we need to sit down and let's talk about Jesus again, because I'm not sure you met it.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that, everybody, but the truth is the truth.
No, that's absolutely correct, brother. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, but if you deny me before men. I mean, how are you going to meet the Creator of all it is and not be excited about it, and yet be excited about somewhere you went to eat? I mean, seriously. I mean, that just doesn't, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. And therefore, as Brother Ron said, our conversation is about the Lord, not in a contrived fashion, but we just can't get enough of this wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Ron, recently, and I was mentioning this before you came on the air, by the way, thank you for being on this morning, brother. You are major blessing. We went to the streets. I was blessed to go with you and about 15 or 20 other people down in downtown Dallas about a month ago on a Saturday morning, brother. Man, that was, I think 10 or 15 people got saved or so, but man, what did you get out of that? What is your observation of what the Lord did that day, brother?
Well, the Lord does what we will allow him to do. And so that day, that's what he did. But I'll tell you what I took away from that the most, Todd, was that there are suffering, hurting, thirsty for the Lord people right under our nose. They're there every day. It's even something you could do on a lunch break. And what I was struck with was that we can make spreading the gospel part of our daily routine. We can literally incorporate it into anything that we do. We just aren't being trained how to do it. And that's what I was struck with, was that any believer can do anything at all to even begin to spread the gospel, show love, reach out, anything else. It furthers that person toward the cross. Even if they don't accept that day, they're going to remember that seed that you planted, or maybe you're the tipping point for that person. You're the 17th person in line that finally tips that scale, or maybe you're the person that just puts the first weight on there. Either way, we don't have to know the end result.
That's right.
It's not always a salvation decision at that minute, but we are responsible to spread the love as much as we possibly can, but we are not responsible to save the people. And that's
beautiful.
Something as believers we have to learn, is that it is not our responsibility to save them. We cannot do that.
We got
all
10 seconds left.
Oh, go.
That is so good, boy. Where we left off, beautiful. Father, use us for your glory, Lord. Let us be one with thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, continue the good work you've done in and through Brother Ron. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.